Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
For 30, we have spared no expense to bring in the best sports guy in the area. Here's John Edwards for you on the drive.
And I've spared all expense getting here.
Thank you so much. I much appreciate that. Long weekend. Got things on the old plans?
Work, work, work. It's Labor Day, so I get to work.
Yeah, you're really getting busy, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Yeah. Let's delve into the big sports story right now. Jerry Jones does it again, and the Cowboys trade Micah Parsons to the Packers. Your initial thoughts when you saw this?
It's a really surprising move because Cowboys get kind of contract disputes all the time. Jerry, the GM, just sort of can't help himself a lot of the time. But they always get fixed. You know, Dak Prescott was in one for a number of months. CeeDee Lamb was in one. But they always get fixed and the people resolved and the players get paid. And for whatever reason, with Micah Parsons, it wasn't going to happen, obviously. Because, I mean, Jones tried, you know, going around Parsons' agent. Clearly didn't work. You know, Parsons wanted to be the highest paid non-quarterback ever, and he's going to be now that he signed an extension with Green Bay. It's a huge loss for the Cowboys. They got back decent nose tackle, but not on the same level that Micah Parsons has been, and not with the future that Micah Parsons has. I mean, this trade is so lopsided. If you tried to do it in Madden, it would not let you do it.
Is Parsons that much of a generational player, John?
I think he could be. He's definitely, given what he's done with Dallas already, I think he's, you know, he could turn into an LT type and or someone who can dominate from defense. And I think certainly, you know, it's a good day to be a Packers fan. I'll say that much.
Yeah. Packers gave up a lot, though. Are they now necessarily the new favorites of the NFC? It's said that the Eagles and Lions are still kings of the hill.
I think I would still favor the Eagles and the Lions until they're not. I mean, I think the two Lions-Packers games this season just got really interesting. You know, they're certainly up in that category now. I think they're already looking good coming out of the preseason. And, you know, now they just made their defense a lot better. And if it works for Green Bay, the draft picks they're going to give back to Dallas are going to be low, low in the first round.
Yeah.
So they're giving back two picks if it works out for Green Bay in the high 20s, low 30s.
NFL just around the corner. Action starts this Thursday on a scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you?
7 and rising. I'll get more excited as we get closer to Thursday night.
All right.
We do get to see what's left of the Cowboys, I think, on the opening game.
Wow. All right. George Seifert passed away, John.
Coach of the 49ers in the late 80s, early 90s. And there's an old line that you don't want to be the man who follows the man. And Bill Walsh was the man in San Francisco. And he's the one who took the 49ers, brought them up to being a level of Super Bowl excellence. Seifert was the exception to that rule. He took over from Bill Walsh and, you know, won Super Bowls of his own. And that it's a hard thing to do, to take over from someone, you know, who was that renowned, who is a legend, and become a legend yourself.
I wouldn't want to be the sports guy who follows John Edwards on this segment, I'll tell you that.
Those are very tiny shoes to fill.
All right, more sports coming up at 5:30.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
Jasmine tea on a painted tray and bends to kiss my frown away. But I'm still stuck
the cloudburst once again. The cover's on, the coast is clear. We're all battened down, only us here. I'm still stuck in the August rain, stuck out in the cloudburst once again. She walks between the lines, she can read my signs. Rain. Out in the cloudburst once again.
A weekly news review on the Friday Drive.
Time for the weekly news review. Township's based economic development expert Michel Ratier again this week. How the heck are you?
I'm good, Daniel. I'm very good. How are you?
I like the passion in the very good response. Wow.
Good.
Okay. Back to school. Be careful driving. Parents are pushing back on homework, especially for younger kids. Look, I get it. The load can be overwhelming at the primary level. But here's the question. How do we track educational progress without some form of take-home reinforcement?
That is the key question, Daniel, on this subject. You know, it's a recurring subject, right? Every school year, it comes back, and it's been doing so, surprisingly, for the last 30 years now. I understand that at the primary level, maybe they've been overloading the kids a little bit too much over the last few years. Parenting now is complex. Parents work, they come back, they're looking for quality of life. They feel they have to teach their kids also. It's a balance that needs to be struck, and it ain't that easy to do. There's been studies for the last 30 years on this. In Poland, 2 years ago, listen to this, the government that was elected had in its platform, no more homework for the kids. These guys won. Can you imagine? And they've took out, at least at the primary level, they've took out homework. But you're right, there is a need to strike a balance between measuring the learning and ensuring that there is some form of continuous education and involvement of the parents at home. Teachers need to ensure better coordination between themselves, and administrators need to maybe balance between levels or grades so that the secondary level they're getting used to towards the end, and then when they arrive at pre-university, cégep, and university level, they're not surprised or diminished by the lack of practice of having take-homes and homework. So there's no clear-cut solution to that yet, but you're right. I think there's a need.
The parents seem to be complaining, especially with the younger kids. We work all day, and now we have to do homework till 9 o'clock. Michel, is the issue quantity or the quality of the homework being assigned?
I think it's both. Quantity and frequency needs to be revised, and quality needs to be revised also. And teachers seem to, at the level of primary and secondary level, I know teachers are very strong on keeping the academic liberties that they have. And one teacher decides not to have some, another teacher decides to have some. It gets confusing at the end for parents. It's both of the points that you've just made, Daniel.
Confusing for the parents and for the radio announcer. Anyway, on the sort of the same subject, Michel, cell phones in class. You know, I see both sides. Phones can be powerful learning tools, and they're also a gateway to distraction, though. The real question is, are we teaching digital responsibility or just banning the tech and hoping for the best?
Okay. As you know, Daniel, I also teach economics at the cégep level, and I'm adamant about this. Laptops, tablets are useful learning tools, but there's no beneficial uses to have a cell phone in the classrooms. It's a distraction from the subject matter that's being taught, and it can even be harmful. At the primary and secondary levels, they've even become tools of intimidation and violence. Now, they've been banned from the classroom at those levels in Quebec education since last year. But this year, they're being banned on the grounds. You can have a digital learning process through, again, tablets and laptops and whatnot. You don't need to have phones to have that. So what kids need is to be able to learn in a secure environment. And that's a great thing. And phones have been playing against having that secure environment now for many years, at least the last few years.
Minister Drainville says it's got to be gone. However, I was speaking to somebody from the ETSB not that long ago, and they said, well, we haven't received any formal information from the ministry as to what we should do.
Yeah, well, I can't answer to that. The minister says one thing and the department does or does not do another thing. I guess they have to get their act together. But what the minister said with regards to that, he's not wrong, and a lot of parents agree with him.
Okay. That Jesus billboard in Sherbrooke, that massive repent your sins billboard, it's not just a religious statement. It's linked to a controversial evangelical group. Yeah. And the founder has a history of targeting vulnerable people.
I guess that message really was taught to you, right? I'm sure you felt it, Daniel.
I mean, here's the thing. Is this free expression or exploitation disguised as salvation?
That's a good question. We live in a generally secular society, and free speech is still a Canadian value as long as it remains safe speech. Now, this giant Jesus billboard in Sherbrooke, there's more to this sign than just repent your sins message. A good Christian there paid for this huge billboard, a guy named Nathaniel Senneron, but he seems believable enough. He did it out of the goodness of his heart. But behind the billboard are some shady characters. As you mentioned, it's been discovered that they've been preying on vulnerable people. It promotes an evangelical group called The Last Reform. This group was founded in Denmark in 2011 by its current leader, a guy called Torben Sodengard. Now, the movement is in line with practices of repentance and water baptism and street evangelism. It also has a Florida branch. It's a nonprofit incorporated structure in Florida with three directors. Now, 2016 to 19, Danish media reported on claims of exorcism and healing through prayer of cancer and autism. And Sodengard even recruited followers in mental health hospital. So he was preying on vulnerable people. He fled to the United States in 2019 on a visitor's visa, tried to get asylum claiming religious persecution, was arrested and detained by ICE under the Biden administration in 2022, and early reports repeated of uncharged allegations of gun smuggling, but that fell on the wayside. After more than 400 days in detention, they sent him back to Denmark. So now he's really claimed to be persecuted wherever he goes. The movement's website sells training packages and training events and regular religious paraphernalia. Revenues have slumped from a peak of $1 million to now a low of $239,000 in 2023. And the U.S. branch is managed by accountants that seem to specialize in creating legal and corporate filings of nonprofit religious organizations. So sadly, behind such an innocuous billboard, there seems to be not so saintly activities.
Jeez. Okay. Thanks for straightening things out for me. Finish this off this week. Prime Minister Carney's move to drop retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods has critics calling it a climb down. For consumers, it means cheaper orange juice, denim appliances, and everyday stuff. What do you think?
Okay, well, this is a damn if you do, damn if you don't type of thing. Some said that he showed weak knees by pulling back these retaliatory tariffs. And what you're raising is it a good thing for consumers? So this happened last Friday, right? Those Friday announcements that they are now regular from politicians. He dropped the retaliatory tariffs, but we have to keep in mind that relations with the U.S. had become icy since August 1st. That was the deadline for the current negotiations. I think the pressure was up when the EU announced that they had, in brackets and wink wink, a deal with the US. Now, it's easy for the EU to, or the United States to claim to have had a great deal with the EU. It's a 450 million people, and trade with the US is less than a million per capita, where trade for us, and I think this is what drove Prime Minister Carney, we're just 40 million people, and trade with the U.S. represents $8 million revenue or production, if you want, per capita of business with the U.S. So that's 2 million jobs. That's 39% of our GDP. So it's one thing to keep elbows up, but we also need to think about the bigger game and the bigger picture between periods. Money collected from these retaliatory tariffs on certain products were put aside to help the families that are, and the workers that are hard hit by tariffs right now. Think of the city of Hamilton in Ontario, which is really, really being hit because of tariffs, 50% tariffs on steel products. If you reduce that, and you got to maintain these programs, if it doesn't come from the revenue that you're taking from these tariffs you're picking up, it will come from the tax base. So consumers will pay anyway. And orange juice, by the way, I think we can get our orange juice at a better price from the country capital of orange juice, which is Brazil right now, because Florida is suffering a lot and having problems in maintaining production of its orange juice. There you go. Consumers will lose no matter what. It's only a question of from which pot are we deciding. Carney needs to keep his eye on the bigger picture, which is the trade agreement that we had and we have now for the last few years between us, the United States, and Mexico.
Personally, I'm on Carney's side. Make the Americans pay. Why should Canadians have to deal with that? Anyway, Townships-based economic development expert Michel Ratier, thank you again so much for this week. Have a good weekend. See you next week.
Thank you. Cheers.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
Always hard to leave you when I get you everywhere. All this time I'm thinking. he loves me. He holds me tight, then lets me go. He loves me now, he loves me. He holds me tight, then lets me go.
Well, it's safe to say now, you can tell I miss you the most. I step away now, it'll make it harder to know whether this is right or whether we should do this at all. I don't know either way, all I know is that we've been moving wrong. There's a lot in our minds, we've been acting kind of crazy. We know how to push each other till we go insane. So we probably shouldn't do this, we already went through this. But I know if I'm not with you, then I'ma miss you. Yeah, yeah.
And oh, it's hard to see you, but I wish you were right here. Oh, it's hard to leave you when I get you everywhere. All this time I'm thinking we could never be a pair. Oh, no, I don't need you, but I miss you, come here.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Time for CIDI-FM. Station Manager Tony Mason here. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Good, Daniel. Thanks very much for inviting me. This is really a new experience for me, as I'm usually the proverbial man behind the curtain.
It's good to talk to you. Taylor McClure is no longer there. You've had a very busy past few months, Tony. Station moved, and now you're in the process of finding a replacement for Taylor.
Yeah, this year has been, in fact, a time of great change at CIDI, as you just said. We moved in the spring. We moved to the corner of Lakeside in Victoria here in Knowlton. We've been settling in over the summer, making upgrades to our equipment, turning our new space into our home. Yes, indeed, our dear friend and colleague Taylor McClure has departed to pursue new opportunities, which is how you got stuck with me today, Daniel. And Taylor was a key part of our team. We all work very well together. I personally, I'm really going to miss my friend and our intrepid journalist and her trademark giggle. With Taylor's departure, we are looking to continue our local news programming with two new journalists, new in the role of journalists, but they're both CIDI alumni. And we are currently working to finish a grant application to receive funding from the federal government under the auspices of the LJI, which is better known as the Local Journalism Initiative. We think our chances of being awarded the grant are good. We look forward to offering the English-speaking community of these great townships of ours local news reports once again starting in October.
That is not all, because you also have new programming coming up this fall.
Yes, we do. That will be launched in October. I don't want to give away the secrets because it's in partnership with another township's institution. We will be making an announcement, or part of an announcement, September 25th or 26th, I believe, to help launch Les Journées de la Culture. We did start a new French language show with a new host by the name of Alexandre Pronovost. The show is called The Big P Show. The show features Quebec and international French hip-hop and rap. You can tune in on Thursdays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. It is our intention at CIDI to continue to grow our French language programming in 2026. As I made reference to, we will be launching a new show early in October, and it is a French language programming.
and CIDI-FM can be seen and talked to at the Brougham Fair and in Sutton this coming weekend.
Some of our CIDI crew will be attending the Brougham Fair this Saturday. Thank you very much, Brougham Fair, for giving us the space. Hope listeners will stop by and meet some of our great hosts. Bushy, after 15 years on the local radio here, Bushy, the host of the Burning Bush from the Hall of Fame, will be there, along with one of our newer hosts, Robin, who's host of the Danger Robin Show, and our very own local celebrities, Shelley and Cash from Cultivating Community, and My Dad's Jazz will be there too. So stop by and say hi and meet some of the hosts, maybe buy some merch or become a member of the station. We'd love to see you. Last but not least, this Sunday CIDI will be in Sutton as a proud sponsor of the third edition of Sutton Hill Reggae and Dub Carnival Sound System, featuring Bric-a-Brac Sound System with Marky Lyrical and Fox High Sound System. This is a family event. It was a great event last year. The music will start at 3 p.m. and run till 9 p.m. Join us at the Filtrek site in Sutton, 7 Rue Pine. This great event is a brainchild of Mark Mahoney and Eric St. Amour, who just happened to be the amazing host of CIDI's relatively new reggae show, Reggae Townships Radio, which airs every Wednesday and Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m.
CIDI station manager, the multi-talented Tony Mason. See how well you did today?
Well, thanks, Daniel. Going to get started doing interviews on radio. Might as well be with the master.
Have a great long weekend. We speak next week.
All righty. Cheers.
Long holiday weekend weather. Tonight, cloudy, 60% chance of showers, low 11. Tomorrow, cloudy, a chance of showers, high 15. Saturday night, cloudy, chance of showers, low 10. Sunday, clear, high 22. Monday, September 1, sunny, high 25 degrees. Ed Humphrey coming up just after 5 o'clock today with things to talk about in the townships. Joanne Lavoie, volunteer president, Ben from Agog Conservation, the interview of the week. 5:30 sports, John Edwards, Mike Eslin Jr., producing a classical and musical theater show at the Haskell on September 20th with Sonia at 5:40. All on the Friday Drive at CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.